Our beginners church kids can be dismissed to beginners church at this time. So if you have a 3 or 4 year old and they like beginners church, this would be the time for them to be escorted out. A couple of announcements. In your bulletin, there's this yellow sheet, and on there we wanted to put the Reaching Beyond sermon series on here for you so you're aware of what's coming here in the next couple of months related to our campaign. And so that way you can kind of follow along a little bit in the sense of having a sense of where we're going together in our sermon series. So just hold on to that if you care about knowing where we're going. And then also I want to draw your attention to our Ukraine team left yesterday, Saturday. And that team is Steve Schaefer and Fonda Whitmer and Kathy Stamas. And so they are there now, I'm guessing, in Ukraine. And so let's keep praying for them. We've done a great job at supporting them this far, getting them ready, supporting them. The funds that came in were fantastic. Thank you so much for all of you who gave so generously to the Ukraine, this Ukraine trip. I think they were fully funded by the giving of FBCers. So praise God for that. So I want to encourage you to pray for them throughout these next couple of weeks, but let's also pray for them and pray for their families as they're gone today. Let's do that as we prepare our time together. So God, we're coming to you knowing that there's many, many needs, God, that we have, many needs that others have. And God, we just want to lift up to you our Ukraine team. Thank you so much for their willingness to serve and go. And God, would you run before them? Would you run in front of your word, preparing hearts, God, in the lives of students there in Ukraine, so that those who hear the word of God, they might see the great and glorious grace of Jesus and that they would believe and trust in him. So God, grant success to our team, our mission team. God, encourage them when they're discouraged, when they're missing home. I pray that you would fill them with peace. And so, Lord, I pray that in all obstacles they might rely upon you and show yourself to be faithful and strong as you've always been. God, I pray for the families who are left here. I pray that you'd encourage them in their moments of anxiety. Remind them, Lord, that you are present and you are a great provider. And so be with them. And now, Lord, be with us as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we are beginning this kind of important chapter in our communal life. We are launching our Reaching Beyond campaign this morning, which is an intensive time of seeking God in his word, praying together, meeting together to discern how we can all participate together and making sure that the good news of Jesus continues to be spread and even beyond in our area. And I want to begin this morning by highlighting 3 different aspects about this campaign for you, just so that you are ready and prepared for what's to come. Number one, part of the strategy is making sure that we all, as a church family, are fully informed and reminded of this opportunity. And so to that end, to be reminded, a team of volunteers have been assembled to make personal calls and visits to every FBCer. That means if you call FBC your home and we have your contact information, then a fellow brother or sister is going to contact you, call you, and try to arrange a time to spend some time with you, 45 minutes or so, an hour. I don't know exactly how long these meetings are being planned for. So I want you to be prepared for that because I can hear your hearts beating from way up here on the stage. What are they going to ask me, and how long are they going to stay, and what are they going to make me do? Well, nothing. Nothing. And so I'm here to put your mind at ease a little bit. Those meetings are meant to be warm. They're meant to be friendly and informative. There will be no hard sells in those meetings. There will be no questions like, so how much do you think you can give? There will be no asking at all of any kind to make any kind of pledge in that meeting at all. These are meant to be friendly times of brothers and sisters getting together, reminding each other of what's happening here in the life of our community, and really even praying together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's really the goal. Those meetings will be successful in my mind if after the meetings happen, you think, boy, it was sure nice visiting with Jack and Sally. It was great spending time with them. It's about being together as a body of Christ and talking about together what a wonderful opportunity we're given to reach out to more people in Taylor County. And so what should you do? This is what I'd ask you to do. Be warm. Be friendly. Be hospitable. My guess is these visitors, they might be more nervous than you because they don't want to embarrass you. They don't want to put you on the spot. They don't want to inconvenience you. They want to enjoy the company of your fellowship and talk together about what God is doing. And so I just want to encourage you to receive them in the spirit in which they're coming. They're coming to bless. They're coming to encourage. And so I want to encourage you to receive them in that way. That's my just the first thing I want to draw your attention to. Here's the second thing, and it's a challenge. Come to at least one prayer meeting on Monday nights during this campaign. Come to at least one. Gloria Everhard is leading a wonderful time of prayer. It's very informal. It's very relaxed. She encourages our hearts to be hopeful in our prayers, reminding us of just how great our God is and how eager He is to hear our prayers. And friends, this is a wonderful time for us to be a family calling out to God together. Together. God gives good gifts to His children, friends. Remember the words of Scripture. God says that the prayers of a righteous person are effective as they're working. And so let's go to God in prayer together as a body. Don't let this pivotal moment in the life of our church go by without coming and praying with brothers and sisters in the Lord. So I want to challenge you, make a way. Make a way for your own sake, for the sake of this church family. Bring the kids. You know, if you're thinking, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do in the evenings with my kids, bring them along. It's very informal, very relaxed. What a great way to teach your children about prayer. They might ask, why are we going to church to pray? Well, because we're facing a big decision as a congregation, and when we feel desperate, when we are desperate, which is every day, we need God, and we need to ask Him, and that's why we're going. It's a great way to train your children to pray. No matter who you are, no matter how you feel about what's happening, there's good reason to come and pray with a brother and a sister together. That's my challenge. Here's one more. I'm thankful that so many of you have been thinking, praying, talking about what you should do, how much you should give when you approach this project. That's encouraging to me. That means you're thinking. That means you're engaged. That means you care. But I want to challenge you in this way. Don't make a final decision until you hear the Word of God. We are bringing this Reaching Beyond campaign into the light of Scripture for these next number of weeks. And what better way to discern what we all should be doing together than hearing the Word of God? I mean, really, I just want to push on you a little bit. How can we possibly make a final decision without hearing the Word of God? I mean, are we really ready to say, I know what I'm going to do. I don't need to hear the sermons. Do we really want to say that? No, let's be humble. Instead, let's say something like, you know, putting a lot of thought to this, the wife and I, the husband and I, we've talked a long time, and we have a pretty good idea of where we're at, where we stand, but we still need to hear the Word of God. We still need the Scriptures to bear upon this topic. And so, friends, I believe that's a heart that God delights in, and a heart that He gives grace and wisdom to. So that's my three things I want to draw your attention to right away in the beginning. Grab a Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Grab a Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2. Now the passage that we're going to read here, I believe, does a wonderful job, a splendid job, at telling us and showing us what we should be doing, what we should be believing, and the example we should be following if we desire to reach beyond. Now let me say that again. If we desire to reach beyond, if we desire to expand our faith, expand our reach, expand our ministry capacity, if that's our desire, I believe 2 Timothy chapter 2 gives us a wonderful picture of what we should be doing, what we should be believing, and what example we should be following. Oh, friends, I pray that you want to reach beyond. I pray that you want to reach beyond, that you want to extend the borders of your heart, to open your arms wider, to invite more in, how you want to live more sacrificially. I pray that you want your faith to expand. I pray that that's what you want. And this passage, I believe, will help us know what we should be doing, believing, and the example we should be following, if that's our desire. So let's read 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 10. I'll read and you follow along. Paul says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Now, there are three parts to that little passage that can be divided up this way. In that passage, there's a command to obey, there is a declaration to believe, and there is an example to follow. I want to say that again. There is a command to obey, there is a declaration to believe, and there is an example to follow. Let me show you these three. First, Paul's command to Timothy to obey is remember Jesus Christ. It's the very first words of this passage. Remember Jesus Christ. That's a command. It's not a suggestion that Paul is saying. He's making this a command to Timothy. Remember him. Don't forget him. Now, it's not just to remember Jesus like remember where you put your car keys, where you might just, it might escape your mind and you don't know where. That's not the kind of remembering the Scripture calls for. Remember him means keep him in front of you at all times. Don't drift away from him. Live your life with Jesus in the front of your mind and at your heart at all times. It's kind of like the remembering that we do around the Lord's table, right? We do that in remembrance of Jesus to remember him. Same kind of thing. We're calling attention to Jesus again in a renewed way, so that we don't live our lives like he doesn't matter. Because he does. And there is a way you and I can forget Jesus and live our lives like he doesn't really matter when he does. Nothing matters more than Jesus. You know, friends, being a Christian means that we keep telling ourselves and each other kind of the same thing. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that as we gather together, as you go through the Bible, as we hear sermons, as you do Bible studies and you read books, that you kind of keep on sharing the same information over and over again? That happens a lot. You talk about Jesus. You talk about his death on the cross. You talk about his resurrection from the dead. We remind ourselves of his message, of his kingdom, of his Father and his Spirit, who can become our Father and our Spirit in Christ. Our Christian lives, friends, really, it's not so much that we, as we grow in our Christian lives, we learn all these new things. I mean, we learn new things, but that's not really the essence of the Christian life. The Christian life is more learning new ways to apply the message we already know. That's very important. It's very important for you to understand. Growth and maturity in the Christian faith is not continuing to add a wealth of information in your mind. Maturing in Christ is learning how to more readily apply the message of the gospel that you already know more deeply into your lives. More deeply into your lives. It's one of the things that reminds me of what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. He said this, "To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it's safe for you." I love that. I'm just going to keep on telling you the same things that I've already said. Why am I going to do that? Well, because it's what you need. If you want a guarded soul, you need the gospel again. You don't need all this new information. You need the same information applied in deeper and new ways. And so we want to keep on remembering Jesus Christ. Now, what does Paul tell Timothy to remember? Well, just real cursory look. Just look at verse 8. Remember that Jesus is risen from the dead. That's where God's power and Jesus' victory is most vividly seen in his resurrection. And so when we remember the resurrection, when we call to mind the resurrected power of God, we are encouraged when we face our challenges that we need to find victory in as well. And he says, remember Jesus Christ, the offspring of David. We just talked about this in the Gospel of Luke. And if you come on a Friday morning or a Thursday mornings, man, we just looked at this in the book of Romans, right? This is the way Paul is saying, he's the Messiah. He's the one. You don't need to keep looking for somebody else to come. He's come, and his name is Jesus. And then, remember that this is what I preach to you, Paul says. Timothy is supposed to hear in that, Timothy, I'm not telling you anything new. This is the message I've already preached to you. Okay? And I pray you know this. I pray you know this, First Baptist, and I know that you do. I know that you do. And then he says this. Look at verse 9. For which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. I can only imagine it's pretty discouraging to be locked up in prison when you're not guilty of committing any crime. And that's Paul's situation here. And so why is he bringing this up now to Timothy? Is he just looking for some pity? No, I don't think so. This is what I think he's doing. I think he's warning Timothy by his example. I think he's warning Timothy. He's saying, be prepared, Timothy. Challenges are going to come to you too. People are going to oppose you too. Your faith is going to be stretched too, Timothy, just like mine is right now. The reason why I believe that's the case is because if you keep on reading in verse 12 and you see in verse 14, you see this reminder to endure popping up. Endure, Timothy. Keep enduring, Timothy. It's coming. Here's how you do it, Timothy. Because he wants Timothy to be ready when the hardships come. And so, First Baptist, this is a command that we need to obey. Remember Jesus Christ. In fact, it's the first thing we should be doing. And I was thinking about this. Campaign or no campaign, my brothers and sisters, this should be a first act of a believer, remembering Jesus Christ, calling him to mind, reminding ourselves of his grace and his mercy. Because challenges are coming. Challenges are coming through this campaign. Challenges are coming regardless of this campaign. I don't know what's going to happen in a month for you, 2 months for you, 1 year for you, 2 years for you. We are going to have our faith stretched. We are going to be challenged. We are going to be opposed by the forces of evil. And we need to start here, remembering Jesus Christ, keeping him in the front of our minds, recalling his mercy, reciting his truth. I love how in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul tells us that God has made Jesus Christ our wisdom. Jesus is our wisdom. That means, my brothers and sisters, that the more you know Christ, the more you hear Christ, the more you learn of Christ, the more you will know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is knowing what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And you will know that concerning the campaign and beyond the campaign when you know more of Christ, because he is our wisdom. Friends, this is the place we start. We cannot go wrong by remembering Christ. It will guide you when you need to make tough decisions. It will help you when there are disagreements and disharmony. Remembering Christ will help you get your eyes off the puny, temporal, fleeting treasures of this world and see the glorious treasures of Christ. Remembering Christ will help you open your arms and embrace more people so that they might know the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, it's a command that we ought to obey. Remember Jesus Christ. Now, the next thing that Paul does is he makes a declaration to believe. Look at the declaration to believe at verse 9. He says, but the word of God is not bound. So think of it. Paul is in prison. And if he is in prison, maybe God's plan won't come to pass. Maybe God's enemies have found a way to stop the spread of the gospel. Maybe the churches of Jesus Christ will not be planted and they will not grow. If Paul's in prison, the main guy, the head honcho, then maybe this isn't going to work very well. And Paul is saying, no, the Word of God is not bound. I might be bound, but the Word of God cannot be bound. It cannot be imprisoned. It's hard to see this in the English translation, but Paul is trying to make the most emphatic contrast he can possibly make. He's trying to make this as emphatically as he can. Okay, yes, Timothy, I am bound, I am imprisoned, but the Word cannot be imprisoned! Exclamation point. That's what he would be doing if he was here and talking in English. He's trying to draw the strongest contrast possible. This is not even a question in Paul's mind. He's not wondering, you know, I wonder if the Word of God is going to be stopped. No, that's not even an option. No matter what they do to me, no matter what they do to you, no matter the regulation on religious speech a government may enforce, it's more applicable to us these days, isn't it? No matter the pressure from secular voices, no matter the violence from God's enemies, the Word of God is not bound for us Baptists. The Word of God is not bound. It cannot be stomped. There's even a triumphant tone in Paul's declaration. And so FBC, this is a declaration to believe. The Bible makes statements, sometimes with exclamation points, and they're meant to be believed. They're meant to be trusted. And so believe it, First Baptist. Have confidence in this. It reminds me of Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, which reads this way, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. And it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." I love that passage. Have confidence, First Baptist. Know the power of the Word of God. Know that as you speak it and as you read it and as you proclaim it and you memorize it and you share it with kids in Awana or teenagers at the youth center or moms struggling at M&M's or an unchurched neighbor, or a fellow FBCer who's struggling in the hospital, know that the Word of God is not bound, and that when you pick it up and read it and proclaim it and believe it, it will accomplish the purpose for which God sent it out. It will happen. And so I'm asking you to believe this declaration. Now, why does Paul tell Timothy that the Word of God is not bound? We learned that in verse 10. Look at verse 10. Read that with me again. "Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Now, before I make a big deal about the connection between verses 9 and 10, just notice what Paul is doing in verse 10. Just notice what he's saying. He is saying, "Timothy, look at the great sacrifice I'm enduring, the great sacrifice I am making. Look at all that I'm willing to endure for the sake of the elect, for the sake of those people that Jesus purchased with his precious blood. Notice the sacrifice I'm making for the sake of those people who have yet to believe in Jesus." I don't know who they are. I don't think Paul doesn't know who these people are. But he's saying, "I'm enduring everything for their sake so that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." I love that last part. The last part, eternal glory part. Because he doesn't just say the salvation that's found in Christ Jesus, period. He says the salvation that is obtained in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What he's trying to do is he's trying to tell us how wonderful this salvation is, how glorious this salvation is, how much we will rejoice in this salvation. That's what he's trying to do. I don't know if you saw this. I saw this a couple of months ago maybe, this video of a dad who filled his entire house with those, you know, those colorful balls and made a big ball pit out of his entire house. Did you see that video? I have some of that clip. Why don't we show that clip of this dad?
really quiet. Hello?
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing, what are you doing?
Absolutely nothing.
He didn't tell his wife that he was doing it. That'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? Oh, man, I have some ideas for you kids in the Clark home. You see the smiles in those kids? I bet those smiles, they're not going to erase those smiles for weeks. And that's just a tiny, puny glimpse of what Paul is trying to say. Friends, that when we obtain the salvation of our souls and other people obtain the salvation of their souls, we will not be able to wipe the smiles off our faces when we are with our God in heaven. We won't. And Paul is saying, I'm going to endure everything for the sake of those people so they might know what it's like to swim in the eternal ball pit in the sky, you know? That's what he's saying. That's what he's getting at. And friends, this is the example to follow. Enduring everything for the sake of others, obtaining the salvation of their souls in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, why would Paul do that? Why is that the life he's choosing to live, the life of sacrifice rather than the life of luxury and opulence? The answer is because the word of God is not bound. That's the connection between verses 9 and 10. You see that first word in verse 10? Therefore. Do you see that there? Therefore. That links 9 and 10. The word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. Or, I endure everything for the sake of those who have yet to be saved because the word of God is not bound. That's the connection. See, here is the thing. If the word of God can be stopped, if the word of God can be bound, I'm not sure if I'm all that excited about sacrificing everything. Because what if I sacrifice everything and it still gets stopped? Well, then I wasted my life. And what Paul is saying is because the word of God can't be stopped, friends, there is not a sacrifice that you make to spread that good news that God will not use and honor to spread the unbounded word farther and wider to more people. It cannot fail. Any sacrifice and every sacrifice you make will not fail in spreading the gospel farther and wider. God's word, friends, is no different today than it was 2,000 years ago for Paul. It still is unbound. It still cannot be stopped. And that means it begs and demands the same sacrifices that Paul made. So are you willing to endure everything for the sake of those yet to be saved? Will you give up your time on a Wednesday to spend time with children in Awana? And not just be there like some robot, some automaton, but be there believing that the word of God is not bound. And that as I recite these verses with them, as I encourage and coach them through it, as I have the love of Christ in my face and countenance that matches the words on the page, that it will make a difference. Or teens at the youth center. Or will you exchange your passion for fishing or hunting or basketball or volleyball or whatever it might be for a passion to help others know Jesus Christ? And yes, will you give up money? Money to buy a nicer car. Money to go on a vacation. Money to retire early. Money for a nicer home so people can enjoy a home with God forever someday with Him. So put a face on those silhouettes, my brothers and sisters. You know, Keith shared last week that the banner has these silhouettes, faceless people, because we don't know who they are. Just like Paul didn't know who he was sacrificing for. But we can put faces on there. You know, maybe a neighbor, coworker, maybe a kid in school that has a locker next to yours. What if the unbounded word found them through the ministries of First Baptist Church? That's why Paul endured it all. What will we endure? Now, if you're like me, you might be thinking, well, but I want to get there. I want to get there, but I'm not there all the time. What do I do? This passage tells us what to do. Remember Jesus Christ. It's the first thing. draw your attention, renew your mind back to Christ, His grace, His mercy, His story. As you do, your affections will be stirred and your passions will be directed towards Him and His way. Next, believe that the Word of God is not bound. Believe it. Be convinced of it. And when those two things collide, you will be ready to sacrifice much so other people can enjoy the salvation that you enjoy. That, my brothers and sisters, I pray, will encourage you well as we begin our time in this sermon series over the next few weeks. Why don't you stand with me as we close in prayer. If you'd like prayer this morning about things happening in life, don't be bashful. We'd love to pray with you. Please come up and we will do that. So let's close together. God in heaven, thank you for my brothers and sisters. Encourage them now as they go. Help us all remember you, remember Christ. And as we remember, I pray that our affections and our desires would be stirred heavenly, God, and not earthly. Bless us now as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day, First Baptist.